TED Audio Collective.
You're listening to TED Talks Daily. I'm your host, Elise Hu. We all have this innate need to feel heard and understood. So who better to talk about how to be heard and make progress in conversations than champion debater Julia Dar? In her talk from TED Salon 2021, Julia makes a case for being more comfortable having tough conversations and how constructive conversations can persuade and move dialogue forward.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple. This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
Three planes, 25 hours, 10,000 miles. My dad gets off a flight from Australia with one thing in mind, and it's not a snack or a shower or a nap. It's November 2016, and Dad is here to talk to Americans about the election. Now, Dad's a news fiend, but for him, this is not just red or blue swing states or party platforms. He has some really specific intentions. He wants to listen, be heard, and understand. And over 2 weeks, he has hundreds of conversations with Americans from New Hampshire to Miami. Some of them are tough conversations, complete differences of opinions, wildly different worldviews, radically opposite life experiences. But in all of those interactions, Dad walks away with a big smile on his face. And so does the other person. And in those interactions, he's having a version of what it seems like we have less of, but want more of, a constructive conversation. We have more ways than ever to connect. And yet, politically, ideologically, it feels like we are further and further apart. We tell pollsters that we want politicians who are open-minded. And yet when they change their point of view, we say that they lacked conviction. For us, when we're confronted with information that challenges an existing worldview, our tendency is not to open up. It's to double down. We even have a term for it in social psychology. It's called belief perseverance. And boy, do some people's beliefs seem to persevere. I'm no stranger to tough conversations. I got my start in what I now call productive disagreement in high school debate. I even went on to win the World Schools Debate Championship 3 times. I've been in a lot of arguments, is what I'm saying. But it took watching my dad on the streets of the US to understand that we need to figure out how we go into conversations, not looking for the victory, but the progress. And so since November 2016, that's what I've been doing, working with governments, foundations, corporations, families, to uncover the tools and techniques that allow us to talk when it feels like the divide is unbridgeable. And constructive conversations that really move the dialogue forward have these same 3 essential features. First, at least one party in the conversation is willing to choose curiosity over clash. They're open to the idea that the discussion is a climbing wall, not a cage fight, that they'll make progress over time. And they're able to anchor all of that in purpose of the discussion. For someone trained in formal debate, it is so tempting to run headlong at the disagreement. In fact, we call that clash. And in formal argumentation, it's a punishable offense if there's not enough of it. But I've noticed, you've probably noticed too, that in real life, that tends to make people shut down, not just from the conversation, but even from the relationship. That it's actually one of the causes of unfriending, online and off. So instead, you might consider a technique made popular by the Hollywood producer, Brian Grazer, the curiosity conversation. And the whole point of a curiosity conversation is to understand the other person's perspective, to see what's on their side of the fence. And so the next time that someone says something you instinctively disagree with, that you react violently to, you only need one sentence and one question. I never thought about it exactly that way before. What can you share that would help me see what you see? What's remarkable about curiosity conversations is that the people you are curious about tend to become curious about you, whether it's a friendly Australian gentleman, a political foe, or a corporate rival. They begin to wonder what it is that you see and whether they could see it too. Constructive conversations aren't a one-shot deal. If you go into an encounter expecting everyone to walk out with the same point of view that you walked in with, there's really no chance for progress. Instead, we need to think about conversations as a climbing wall. To do a variant of what my dad did during this trip, pocketing a little nugget of information here, adapting his approach there. That's actually a technique borrowed from formal debate, where you present an idea, it's attacked, and you adapt and re-explain, it's attacked again, you adapt and re-explain. The whole expectation is that your idea gets better through challenge and criticism. And the evidence from really high-stakes international negotiations suggests that that's what successful negotiators do as well. They go into conversations expecting to learn from the challenges that they will receive, to use objections to make their ideas and proposals better. Development is in some way a service that we can do for others and that others can do for us. It makes the ideas sharper, but the relationships warmer. Curiosity can be relationship magic, and development can be rocket fuel for your ideas. But there are some situations where it just feels like it's not worth the bother. And in those cases, it can be because the purpose of the discussion isn't clear. I think back to how my dad went into those conversations with a really clear sense of purpose. He was there to learn, to listen, to share his point of view. And once that purpose is understood by both parties, then you can begin to move on, lay out our vision for the future, make a decision, get funding. Then you can move on to principles. When people shared with my dad their hopes for America, that's where they started, with the big picture, not with personality or politics or policies. Because inadvertently, they were doing something that we do naturally with outsiders and find it really difficult sometimes to do with insiders. They painted in broad strokes before digging into the details. But maybe you live in the same zip code or the same house, and it feels like none of that common ground is there today. Then you might consider a version of disagreement time travel, asking your counterpart to articulate what kind of neighborhood, country, world, community they want a year from now, a decade from now. It is very tempting to dwell in present tensions and get bogged down in practicalities. Inviting people to inhabit a future possibility opens up the chance of a conversation with purpose. Earlier in my career, I worked for the Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand, who practiced a version of this technique. New Zealand's electoral system is designed for unlikely friendships. Coalitions, alliances, memoranda of understanding are almost inevitable. And this particular government setup had some of almost everything. Small government conservatives, liberals, the Indigenous People's Party, the Green Party. And I recently asked him, what does it take to bring a group like that together, but hold them together? He said, someone, you, has to take responsibility for reminding them of their shared purpose, caring for people. If we are more focused on what makes us different than the same, then every debate is a fight. If we put our challenges and our problems before us, then every potential ally becomes an adversary. But as my dad packed his bags for the 3 flights, 25 hours, 10,000 miles back to Australia, he was also packing a collection of new perspectives, a new way of navigating conversations, and a whole set of new stories and experiences to share. But he was also leaving those behind with everyone that he'd interacted with. We love unlikely friendships. We've just forgotten how to make them. And amid the cacophony of cable news and the awkwardness of family dinners and the hostility of corporate meetings, each of us has this, the opportunity to walk into every encounter, like my dad walked off that plane, to choose curiosity over clash, to expect development of your ideas through discussion, and to anchor in common purpose. That's what really world-class persuaders do to build constructive conversations and move them forward. It's how our world will move forward too. Thank you.
20 years ago, Jimmy Wales founded Wikipedia as a place for everyone to share information, but he wasn't exactly sure how to run the site.
How do you put together a system that will generate a reasonable degree of quality and, you know, be open?
Ideas about building communities, online and off. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
PRX.